Hello, my name is Eli Tuckman, and thank you for joining me in our study of Mishnayos Maseches Nazir. Mishnah Dalid brings us some further discussion of the case of a Nazira whose husband was Mefer her Nazirus. Ha'isha Shenadra B'Nazir, so she went ahead and made a Nazirus, and she completed it, or came very close to completing it, V'hifrishes Behemta, and she set aside specific animals for her Karbanos Nazir. Now, the Nazir, at the conclusion of his Nazirus, brings Karbanos Tahara, because he finishes a successful Nazirus B'Tahara, so then he brings three Karbanos. He brings a Karban Chatos, a Karban Ola, and a Karban Shlamim. So, she set aside these animals, and then the husband was mayfair her Nazirus before she brought the Karbanos. So the question now is really, what do we do with the animals? If the animals in question were actually his, they were the husband's, and so she selected them from animals that he has put aside, he designated for her to be able to bring her Karbanos. She is going to be obligated in Karbanos from time to time. And so her husband has set aside animals to be there for her to use when she has these obligations to bring Karbanos. And so if they came from those animals, so then the animals have no Kiddush at all. Since they were only really available to the wife in order for her to bring her obligatory Karbanos. Now that the Nazirus was cancelled and the Karbanos aren't required, so then the animals aren't hers to be Mekadosh in the first place, and therefore, Tetze Vitira Be'eder. They can go back to the flocks. They could go out and just send them back to the rest of the flocks because they have no Kedusha whatsoever and they're just regular animals. The Imshaloh Ha'isla Behemta, what if the animals were hers? So if the animals were hers, then the three Karbanos, right, the animals are set aside for three specific Karbanos, then the three Karbanos have different halachos. Hachatas, tomos. The animal that was set aside for the chatas, for the Karban chatas, must be left to die. We don't kill it ourselves, but we put it aside and we basically don't feed it so that it will die. And the reason for that is that this is the halacha for, in most cases, for a chatas that is no longer needed. The most common example is if somebody sets aside an animal for Karban chatas and then dies. So if the owner dies, then the animal also cannot be used for anything other than the chatas of the person that no longer needs it, and therefore the animal also has to die. So that's the Karban chatas animal. V'ha'ola, tikrav ola. The animal that was set aside for the Karban Ola is brought as an Ola. And this time it's an Ola Snedava instead of the Ola of a Nazir. But an Ola is an Ola. There's not really any difference between them. And so she brings it as an Ola Snedava. The Hashlamim and the Karban Shlamim, Yikrim Shlamim. That would also be brought as a Shlamim of Nedava, except, okay, there's an exception. Now there are two differences between a regular Shlamim and Shalmei Nazir. Two differences that are relevant to us. Two differences right now. Number one, usually a Karban Shlamim is eaten for 2 days and the night between them. A Shalmei Nazir, however, is eaten for a shorter period of time. It's only eaten for 1 day and the following night. And the second difference between regular Shlamim and Shalmei Nazir is that Shalmei Nazir are brought with 20 breads. 10 matzah loaves and 10 matzah wafers, right? Chalos matzos and rikike matzos, 10 each. So this shlamim is a shalmei nedava, but it was set aside as shalmei nazir, and therefore it kind of has this in-between status, and therefore v'nechol niyom echad, it can be eaten only for 1 day, because after all, it was sanctified as a shalmei nazir, and therefore, it can only be eaten for the 1 day. We can't treat it more leniently like a regular shlamim because it was set aside for shalmei nazir. But ve'ein tu'unin lechem, but they do not require bread. And the reason it doesn't require the bread, even though we are sort of treating it a little bit like shalmei nazir in certain respects, is that the Torah specifies with regard to this bread that the Nazir must hold it in his hand. The Kohen puts it into the hands of the Nazir. And there is no Nazir whose hands it can be put into. And therefore, since there's no Nazir's hands, there's no Karban. So that is if it was her animals that she set aside. Now, what if it wasn't animals? What if it was money? Hayu amos stumin. She put aside money, but it was, right, for the animals, to buy animals, but she did not specify which animal was, what, which money was for which. She just had, you know, a pot of money where she put money for her karbanos nazir, all three. So then, yiplu dundava. Since they, it is not specified for any specific karbanos, then all of the animal, all the money, can go to bring a nedava. In this case, we mean an olas nedava. Most mifurashim, but if she specified, right, she kept separate money put aside for each of the karbanos. This money is for my chatas, this money is for my ola, this money is for my shlamim. So then, to me chatas, yelchu liyam ha-melech. The chatas money must be destroyed, just like the animal of the chatas would be left to die. So the money also must be destroyed. And the example the Mishnah gives us of something that must be destroyed and is asur b'hanah is we toss it into Yam HaMelech, because Yam HaMelech is very, very, very salty. People can't really swim in it. And if they try to swim in it, they basically float. So anything that's tossed into Yam HaMelech pretty much is out of human circulation. And therefore, that's the most common example for things that you can't have enough from and that must be destroyed. Lo nehenin, right? You can't benefit from it. But also, velo ma'alim behem. You don't bring a carbon me'ila if you use it for your own good. You're not allowed to use it, but if you did use it, you wouldn't bring a carbon me'ila. And that's because this cannot be described as kodshe Hashem. Right, this is not kodshei Hashem. You're actually destroying it now. You're not giving it to Hashem. And so if that's the case, it doesn't qualify as kodshei Hashem, and therefore there's no me'ila. Dmei ola, what about the ola money? So the ola money, right, yavi ola, use it to buy an ola. Umo'olim bahem. And if you use this money for your own benefit, so then you would be chayev me'ila. You'd have to bring a korban me'ila. And that's because they are kodshei Hashem. It's going to be brought as an ola. Now, it's important to note that we didn't talk about this whole me'ila business earlier when we were talking about the animals, and that's because it's obvious. If you use an animal that was set aside for a korban, then of course there's me'ila involved. Here, we're talking about money. And so the question is, to what degree is this money actually considered kodesh l'Hashem that you be chayev me'ila? So with the chatas, it is not. But with the ola, it is. Dimei shlamim, what about the shlamim money? Yaviyu shlamim. So then they should bring a karban shlamim, like shalmi nedava. And as we said earlier, except that the shalmi nedava has special rules, because it was sanctified, the money was sanctified and set aside for shalmi nazir. And therefore, v'nechol niyomecha can only be for one day. But notwithstanding the fact that it is like shalmi nazir and that it can be eaten only for one day, the ein tutun lechem, it does not require bread, as we said before, because it can't be placed onto the hands of a nazir who doesn't exist.